Welcome to the IQ Meets EQ podcast. I'm Jackie Broman, Principal Solicitor at TBA Law and CEO of Legally Wise Women. And I'm here with Ush Danik, former corporate lawyer, then head of HR, now an emotional intelligence coach. Good morning, Ush.
Good morning, Jackie. How are you going?
I'm well. How are you?
Good. I love that we just had a little 50-minute catch-up before we hit record.
We did, but it's been a while. Like, I think it's been at least a month.
It's been about three, four weeks, hasn't it?
It has. And we never do that except when we took a conscious break. It's just, I think, you know, we've both been telling each other we've had some turmoil and thinking, oh my God, what's going on collectively for, you know, people just having really hard times at the moment. But it's good that we've both reflected to each other that we've stayed super centered and go with the flow, and we know everything's going to be okay. So
yeah, it's been an interesting couple of weeks, that's for sure. And it'll be nice to hear from our listeners if they've had like turmoil or if it's, I don't know, like a planetary thing or something. Well, we just had a solstice, didn't we?
We did, yes.
Yeah, so I'm sure there must be something going on, yeah.
But tell us about your apartment issue.
Yes, so I've been having like pretty bad mold in the apartment that I'm in. But if anyone knows that's renting and looking will know all the difficulties of the rental shortages and trying to find something within budget. So what was happening was, and I'm like a pretty good super manifester, but we were manifesting homes, looking at them, viewing them, but every home we looked at would have queues of people in and out of them. It was almost like, you know, 20 minutes before the open home, there's no parking on the street just because there's so many people. And then, for example, there was this one property and it was like, you know, listed for like $1,000 a week, and went to view it. And as we're walking out, a couple in front of us were like, oh yeah, we should just offer, you know, our top of our budget at like $1,500 for this. And then I spoke to one of the real estate agents, and she said, basically, if your budget is $1,000, you need to be looking at properties that are $600. So you've got room to move and offer more. And I was like, what? Like, there was just like nothing. Anyways, and Gia and I were sitting at home one night and I said to her, right, we need to change our manifestations. So what we did was we manifested that there was this perfect home. We visualized exactly what it looked like. One of the things I wanted was a meditation room in my new home. Mm. I could have space to round and do all of that stuff. And I said to her, why don't we manifest that it's perfect for us, but it's got imperfections for other people, which means that there's not many people coming to view it or want it. So she said, Mom, I'm going to have a look. So that night she looked online, found a property 3Ks from where we are now. So within the area, she emailed them, and then she spent all evening like just manifesting, visualizing herself in the home because she saw the photos. And then we went to see it the next day and there was no one there. It was just us. And then we put the application in and there was one tiny little flaw with it, but something we could work around. And because of that, we put in $200 below the asking rent.
Wow.
And they cancelled the open home the next day. Both Marshy and Snoopy got approved, which I was a bit worried about as well, because we've got two pets, right? Mm-hmm. And everything just worked. And within 24 to 48 hours, we'd got the property and we move in 3 weeks.
Oh, that's so great. What a relief. And what an amazing story. Like, just tweak that no one else shows up.
Yeah. And then Gia's like, but Mom, we need to manifest that they go somewhere else because we don't want them to feel like they haven't got something. So we were obviously sending love and compassion in the same process, but we were manifesting that no one wanted this. No one turned up. And honestly, no one turned up. We were the only ones there.
Amazing. Oh, that's great. Gia must be pretty powerful as well.
Oh, well, she's stoked. Like, she's been telling everyone that she's manifested our home all by herself. So she's literally been on that ride. And yeah, so we move in a couple of weeks, which is that's exciting.
Great. Yeah, that's really great. And it's got your meditation room, has it?
It has. It's got this massive room that's going to be office on one side and a meditation area on the other side of the room.
Great.
And we just ordered a little meditation couch thing, like a floor lounge, so we can use that to do the meditations on. So
that's fantastic. It's so great that you're still doing your rounding as well, because I think you were doing 108 days.
108 days, which finishes on the 26th of August. So an hour a day, it's been full on. Yeah. And it's been freaking me out around here on the floor.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, I'm breathing in mold every time I, like, you know, I'm on the floor. And so, and I said to, Nico, can we round on the bed? He's like, no, it needs to be on the floor. I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah. And it's a pity it's so wet and dark to be able to do it out in the courtyard.
Yeah. Well, I don't have the courtyard. I've only got a tiny, tiny space. So yeah, everything's worked out really perfectly. So
good.
Great. Yeah.
Yay. So Yay. Despite the challenges, things get better on the other side.
They do. And just like what you were saying, right, is like, you know, how calm you've remained. Maybe share a little bit about that as well, about how you've been able to do that.
I think, to be honest, it's just been the meditation practice, and with the constant meditation leading up to this, the stress levels in my body are just less generally.
Yeah.
And so this extra workload of a couple of people leaving, yeah, it's significantly harder because there's so much volume, but it's sort of like I'm in the mental space where it's like, well, it is what it is. It needs to be done. It's all going to be fine on the other side. Like, just suck it up for this little bit instead of just getting myself in a tears. And the mental talk that I used to tell myself was, I don't have enough time. I don't have enough support. And that those thoughts would spiral and I'd get so, super worked up. But I'm not saying those things to myself anymore. Like, I'm just like, just do the work. It's fine. It's going to be fine.
And I've noticed, like, if I have those feelings of like fear or anxiety or those fears, they don't last as long. It's like I'm able to call it out and go, okay, I feel this. And then normally what would have lasted days, or I lose sleep over it, I feel like it's a couple of hours, if that. And then, you know, you think about it, you meditate on it. When you do your meditation, it's gone. Like, I notice it's gone really quickly.
Yeah, I'm certainly recognizing the fear and anxiety better as well. But even if it doesn't dissipate, I'm still like, okay, I'm feeling fear and anxiety. No worries. I've acknowledged it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
My gosh, what changes in us? How funny.
Pretty incredible. That's right. So great. So even though with all these challenges, we're not going to head to burnout, but that's sort of what I wanted to mention before listening to the recording of our guest this time around. Because again, it's a bit of a similar pattern that she's had with a couple of burnouts for different reasons throughout her career before coming out the other side. Yeah. So Helen Kartika is our guest interview this podcast. She's a business and career coach now. She launched her businesses after burnout, but she had a burnout in the middle of it as well. But yeah, she helps women now get clarity on the next steps and to navigate their anxiety and imposter syndrome in the workplace or whether they are going into business by themselves. So yeah, let's have a listen. All right, Helen, welcome to the IQ Meets EQ podcast. How are you?
Good, Jackie. Thank you so much for having me. I am super excited to be here.
Yeah, I'm excited too. You're quite international in many ways, although you haven't lost your Aussie accent. Back in Sydney at the moment, but as you said, I have been living overseas for a while, but I don't want to jump straight into that too much.
Okay.
Let's start from the beginning. When you were growing up in Australia, what did you want to be?
So I actually wanted to be a professional tennis player. I was actually, from a very young age, from about the age of 5 to 16, was being kind of groomed and trained at this quite elite level to be a professional tennis player. So I traveled all around Australia. I was leaving school a couple of days a week to go and train at this really prestigious academy and in Sydney. But I actually have a really interesting story about that, if you don't mind me sharing.
Yeah, please.
So obviously I'm a mindset coach. So I'm obsessed with all things mindset and how our experiences through life have shaped who we are, our paradigm, our beliefs, all of that kind of thing. And growing up, I was always a hyperachiever, and I'm sure a lot of your audience can probably relate to this, but, you know, very hyperachiever, had very, very high expectations of myself. And over time, through corporate and then through starting both my businesses, it actually developed into like imposter syndrome, right? Because every time I accomplished something, it was like, how do I do it again? Can I top that? I was always striving and trying to beat the last thing. And then I started to like develop this really crippling performance anxiety, actually, because once I'd done my career and when it came to actually starting my business, I had to learn everything from scratch. So that performance anxiety was really real. And I actually ended up getting my own mindset coach to work on this, right? And she actually took me through an NLP process. So NLP stands for Neuro-Linguistic Programming. And she did a bit of a hypnosis process on me to figure out what was the root cause of this like performance anxiety, this imposter syndrome. And so we did this process, and it sounds obvious now that I talk about it, but at the time, like it completely dissolved all these kind of mindset blocks that I had. And we realized that it was because I played such competitive tennis at a high level from the age of 5. And my parents, bless them, like they were very well-meaning, but at the time they really encouraged me to win and perform and succeed at that very, very, very competitive level from like the age of 5. And yeah, it was like, we quickly realized that my worth was really hinging on me performing and succeeding. And as soon as I found that out, I was like, mind blown. Sorry to get deep so quickly into the podcast, but I love that question because no one ever asked me that. And it's very related to my experience now as an adult. And, some of my clients, they come to me, of course, like mindset blocks, struggles, challenges. And I always say to them, like, would you let a seven-year-old run your business? Or would you let a seven-year-old fill in for you at work? And they say, absolutely not. And I say, well, that's where all your, false limiting beliefs are coming from your seven-year-old brain, because there's just so much that we have internalized even from that time. So I just wanted to share that with you because it's amazing how much we still hold even as adults, even though we've grown up and we understand the world so much better.
Thank you. I love that you shared that actually, because as soon as you said you were being groomed to play elite tennis and going through that training, I wanted to dive in and ask, like, what was that grooming and training involved? Because it's almost like grooming has taken on this little bit of a sinister sort of term, because it is a form of mind fuckery.
Yeah, like telling a five-year-old or a seven-year-old, or encourage them that they have to win, specifically in like not a group sport also. It's all down to you. And like what that formed was, my worth is down to performance, and my parents' love for me isn't unconditional. It's on the condition of winning, which obviously isn't true. And now that I understand that, I've actually released a lot of that. That's what I love about mindset stuff. Sometimes it just takes that awareness to realize and to unblock some of the stuff that you've held on to.
Yes, yes. Sometimes it's just awareness, and sometimes it's not just awareness, though, isn't it?
Exactly. No, exactly. It really depends on you. It's the very first step, and then it's what you do with it, for sure.
Yeah. All right. Before we dive down into too much more of a rabbit hole.
Yeah.
All right. So you're doing a lot of tennis, obviously, as a teenager, young child, teenager. Where did that culminate? Like, where did that get you to? And then I suppose if you didn't get to where you would hope to get, what was that like?
Yeah. I mean, I knew that I from that early age felt that pressure. And I actually knew that I just wanted a normal life. So what it ended up happening is I actually had an injury playing a completely different sport, and I quit. And upon reflection, I've never actually told my parents this, but upon reflection, that was the child, the little girl being like, I need to get out of this, because it was hardcore traveling the country, missing out on like growing up. It's weird because, Ash Barty just retired from tennis and she was kind of saying similar things. And like, I really resonate with that, but it was just kind of like, I had to get out of that and felt that pressure to the point where I was not making an excuse, but almost just needed to find a way out. So yeah, I actually quit tennis around the age of 16, much to my parents' disappointment at the time. Yeah, but I'm sure they understand. And of course, I have no regrets of that at all.
So 16 is what, year 10 or 11? So then you're a normal teenager sort of for the last couple of years. So what did it look like then? What did you study? What were you interested in? And what did you do after high school?
Yeah, so I actually started my career in public relations. That is what I studied. I studied at UTS in Sydney. And naively, and this is why I'm so passionate about career development now, because naively, I had no idea what I wanted to do at the age of 16. I knew I didn't want to be a professional tennis player, but I had no other idea. And I wanted to literally be like Kelly Catrone or, you know, Lauren for the Hills, Samantha Jones from Sex and the City. It looked like a really glamorous life. And so I started working in consumer PR agencies in Sydney, but then quickly realized it's not what I wanted to do. It's not as glamorous as it seems. And I got the itch to travel. So in my early mid-20s, I actually moved to London, where I started working for one of London's biggest ad agencies. And I actually started managing the social media channels in a team for Netflix. So this was literally managing millions and millions of people across all their communities. So it was massive and it was an amazing experience. And I always say, like, if you ever get the chance to work for a company like Netflix, at the time they were so progressive. I love the team. We were doing really, really cool stuff, traveling the world, all of that. But at the end of the day, I was miserable. I don't know, like at the time, like I couldn't see why. The work on paper looked really good, but I was just so unfulfilled. And I really experienced what I call complete corporate disillusion, right? I was just burnt out physically, emotionally, spiritually. I just needed out. And that's actually what led me to start my first business, which was a marketing agency, an online marketing agency. I ran that for 4 years. And the reason I started that was because I felt like I was almost like a little cog in a very big wheel. And I actually just wanted to help small businesses and entrepreneurs. And I thought, like, you know, obviously in corporate, you always hit an income ceiling. And I knew what I was getting paid, but I knew what Netflix was paying us. So I was like, why can't I go out on my own and provide this service to other businesses and get paid more and feel fulfilled doing it, right? But obviously, Jackie, starting your own business is not easy. So what ended up happening was I was burnt out more than ever. Like I had the biggest rude awakening because I was like, I'll just start my business and work my own hours. Not the case, right? Because suddenly you've got like way more stresses than you had. That financial pressure always in the back of your mind, even when you've got clients, even when you've forecasted as well as you can, it was just always kind of there. So what ended up happening is I burnt out even more because I just wasn't ready for it. And that's actually what led me to becoming a coach. So I wanted to help other women kind of going through burnout, experiencing that, you know, unfulfillment or that corporate disillusion. And what I kind of do now is like, I kind of marry the two, you know, I am really passionate about helping people to actually, if they want to, if they feel called to start their own businesses and to kind of create that really freedom focused lifestyle for themselves. So yeah, that's kind of what's led me to here right now.
Yeah, that's great. And I mean, helping people through into looking to do something for themselves, because you've traveled the path, you can, you know, lead by example. And as you say, like going out on your own is a job plus, 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 plus. Because from the outside looking in, we go, oh, yeah, it's freedom.
Yeah.
Wake up call.
Yeah.
But I go back and think, well, if someone had told me that, I wouldn't have listened. So
exactly. Like looking back, I don't regret that decision at all, you know? And what ended up happening is I realized that business wasn't for me. Like that business wasn't aligned to me. And what I really want to do is I actually just want to help people, you know, and it's kind of like it had to happen this way, you know. And without that, I always say, like, without, you know, the breakdown, as cheesy as it sounds, you can't get the breakthrough, right? And for me, burnout was the kind of wake-up call slash self-development journey that I needed to go through in order to get to the other side. So I always say I'm actually so, so grateful for the corporate burnout, for that first burnout in business. I've definitely learned, and I know, like, being that hyperachiever, like the tennis thing, you know, like I know my weakness is actually pushing it too hard, you know, and that's just something that's innately within me. And now I know how to look out for it. And I know how to help other people through that as well. I always, always say, like, you can't read the label when you're inside the jar. I don't know where I got that saying from, but it's like, do you know what I mean? Like, when you're in it, you can't see it. And it's only retrospectively that you can be like, oh, cool. That was in many ways, you know, what I needed at the end of the day.
Because I bet as well, when you were 4 years doing your online marketing agency, you were probably pushing burnout the whole time. But then what's the difference between operating in that hustle burnout phase versus getting to, no, this is truly not doable anymore?
Yeah, for me, a big part of it is it's not even how many hours you work, it's what you're doing and what energizes you. Like, something I do with a lot of my clients when they're experiencing this burnout or when they're not feeling aligned is make a list. You know, what are your energy drainers and what are your energy boosters? And you'll find that, you know, you could work 6 hours in your corporate job and walk home and just like go home and just be so knackered and drained, but then do a 15-hour day doing something that you absolutely love and you're super energized, right? So it's not even like time management, as they say, it's that energy management. And it's really making sure that the stuff that you're doing is lighting you up. And if it's not, how can you outsource that? How can you delete that? How can you automate it? How can you just make your job or what you're doing, like the work you're doing in your business, easy and fun, or as easy and fun as it can be? And if it's not, obviously there's a bit of, you know, I hate to say it, there is that bit of hustle. You have to kind of grind a little bit. But if you're doing it towards something that you truly love and passionate about, again, as cheesy as it sounds, it's not going to feel like that work that is kind of just sucking your soul. And that's why I also mentioned, like, I always say burnout for me, it was physical, yes, but it was that spiritual burnout of being like, why the hell am I even doing, what am I doing this for? Like, does my day even have meaning? So for me, that was like a huge piece of the puzzle. And again, I wouldn't have known that had I not started that first business in the first place.
Yeah. And it almost sounds like the two different burnouts were very different between them as well. Yeah.
Totally. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. So you also work on blocks, and I want to come back around to the awareness piece, because we were talking before about awareness being a huge light bulb moment for you around your performance anxiety and linking your worth to performing and achieving. But then others who become aware of some beliefs that they have, but awareness is not enough. How do you take it that step further so that they can actually start working on shifting whatever belief it is once they are aware of it?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great question. Really, it's really becoming clear on what that belief is and how it's impacting you. You know, how is it impacting you? What are the consequences of hanging on to that belief? Why have you hung on to that belief? What is that belief actually protecting you from? Like, really figuring out, like, what is the job, or, you know, what is the role of that thing? Because the reason that you have it, like, there is a reason for it, you know, and you somehow throughout your life, your confirmation bias has reinforced that you need to hold on to that belief. So I always say the biggest thing is, and you know, I'm a mindset coach, but I always say you can't think your way to a better mindset. You have to take action. And this is why people always talk about doing the work. But if you know that those beliefs are there, you know, what kind of new beliefs do you want to have? And how can you start testing out those new beliefs in any small way possible, right? So if it's, I've always been a really bad public speaker, no one wants to hear what I have to say, I have a really annoying voice, you know, that kind of thing. It's like, well, if you've got this fear of standing up and talking on stage to 100 people or doing a TED talk, don't do that. But maybe you could, you know, put your hand up to do like a little toast at your friend's birthday or whatever it is, you know, jump on an Instagram live with someone or a podcast, which I know that sounds terrifying to a lot of people as well. But it's how can you start to test out these new beliefs, you know? And I'm sure you and Ush have talked about this, but, you know, just reframing in that moment. And the reason that awareness sometimes is not enough is because we figure out what that is and then we just kind of forget about it. Awareness is bringing that awareness to the surface every time it's impacting you in your life, right? So when a negative thought comes up, a negative belief is coming up, stop and acknowledge, okay, this is happening, like this belief is coming up. And you can, what I love to do, and sometimes what I've worked through with clients, is like stop and acknowledge that belief and say thank you, you know, thanks for mentioning that. I really know you're trying to protect me, but I'm choosing to kind of, you know, acknowledge a belief that better serves me. So stop in the moment, really bring awareness and acknowledge it, and then reframe that to something that's more encouraging and supportive and helpful, right? That's what that taking action is doing. It's like in the moment, working on it. And then as a side to that is also acknowledging when you've shifted those beliefs. I think that's really important as well, to celebrate when, oh, suddenly I'm not thinking as negatively as I did, or suddenly my inner critic isn't as harsh. You know, I'm not beating myself up as much as I usually would, right? So it's really just stopping in the moment, acknowledging it. And when you do see those shifts, like pat yourself on the back for having those shifts, you know?
Yeah, I think the celebration is hard for someone who's just always looking for the next thing as well, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. And it's a practice. It's practice, right? That's, again, it's taking action. Work. It's almost forcing yourself to celebrate that little win. And it doesn't have to be, you know, go out and throw a party. It can literally just be like acknowledging it and saying, oh, I wouldn't have done that usually. Okay, that's a change, you know?
Yeah. Yep. Well, thanks for your insight with that. Tell us a little bit more about your international lifestyle, because you're not living in Australia and you're not still living in the UK. Where have you settled yourself and what have you done?
Yeah, so now I actually live in Berlin. So I lived in London for 3 years, and when I decided to start my new business, I actually realized I can take this anywhere, right? It's that freedom focused, location independent business. So I decided to live in Berlin. It's just an amazing culture there. So European, very different from Australia. And yeah, I thought, why not when I can take my work anywhere? And alongside coaching at the moment, because I've got my experience in marketing, I've got a decade of experience in that industry, I actually work as a trainer and coach at a marketing and tech school in Berlin. It's a non-for-profit and it works to help refugees coming to Berlin integrate into jobs in tech and marketing, because Germany is very bureaucratic. Some people might know, you basically got to have like a certificate or a diploma to do anything. So that is really, really fulfilling. I do that like on the side as a freelancer and basically get to teach people marketing. So it's very interesting, because even though that first job completely burnt me out doing marketing for these clients, actually teaching and coaching, and I bring this into my coaching as well when I'm helping people start their businesses, I help them with the mindset and the confidence, but it's also the kind of marketing to get them started and get them off the ground. So that's kind of what keeps me busy in Berlin, and I love it.
Yeah, wow. That does sound really good. Like a lot of purpose there as well. And I can hear so much passion in your voice too. What do you think that your real passion focus is at the moment? Because it sounds like it's really proper connection.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Connection is one of my biggest values. And for me, honestly, what I'm really passionate about is two things. One is, it's so simple, but it's helping women to see that anything is possible for them, helping them to see that, you know, that life that they want to live is possible if they just work on that self-belief and that confidence, which they absolutely can. Because, you know, one thing that I know is that you can have all the accomplishments and career success in the world and still feel like you're not good enough or you don't have what it takes, you know. Like I was actually speaking to, I was doing some market research calls a few weeks back, and I was actually speaking to a lawyer. She had had 30 years experience. She was just riddled with imposter syndrome because she wanted to start her own business, but didn't feel like she knew enough, despite the fact that she had, you know, 30 odd years experience in the field and obviously did. So I think it's just showing people that it is possible for them. And as a side to that is showing people that life does not have to be linear, and that we don't have to follow the status quo and all these societal norms. Like we know, you know, we know we all get conditioned to go to school, you know, get a good, like basically get a good education, get a good job, climb the corporate ladder, and then retire. And for someone that works with so many like aspiring business owners or new business owners, that fear of like, you know, it's not safe or secure to be in business, that's a total limiting belief in itself. It's not. Sure, there are a lot of risks, financial risks, things like that, but there are, like anything in this world, ways to mitigate those risks, ways to minimize them, ways to plan for them. And, you know, the whole thing of like, it's not safe to be an entrepreneur, or it's too risky, or it costs too much money. You know, if one thing that the pandemic has taught us is that our jobs aren't secure, you know, like job security isn't what we thought it was, right? And to add to that, like, you know, there's a steady monthly paycheck and all of that. But at the end of the day, you know, that is, you're answering to someone else, and that steady paycheck, sure, you get that promotion year on year, but actually you can completely collapse that time and completely smash those ceilings in your own business. It might take a few years, and I do not want to glamorize business, and I'm not saying it's easy or anything like that. But if you are someone that's like, it's too hard, or it's impossible, or yeah, I need this linear progression, or I can only start a business after I've had 50 years experience and I've got my shit together, not the case, you know. You can do whatever you want to do. So I think that's what I'm passionate about, really, just like breaking that status quo if you want to. And of course, if you love your corporate role in 9 to 5, that's amazing too, you know, no discredit to that. But it's just, yeah, a matter of following what you really want and not listening to that conditioning and those norms.
Yep. God, I love your energy. It's very good. So, I mean, the advice that you've just shared through your passions is amazing. Is there anything else that you would go back and tell your 21-year-old self? Any advice you'd give to her?
Chill out. Chill the hell out. Give yourself some grace. Take a break. Stop being so hard on yourself, and it's all going to work out. / that's exactly what I still tell myself every single day. You know, and we all need that, right? We all need to remind ourselves that, to have that self-compassion, that you're doing the best you can with what you have all of the time, right? So I would totally go back and tell her, and I would tell myself the same thing today as well.
Chill out.
Relax.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So what do you do regularly in your routine that helps you chill out then?
Yes, I am a journaler. I am an avid, massive, passionate, and actually journaling completely changed my life. I know it's not for everybody, but back when I had my second burnout, I don't know why, I just started journaling. I just picked up like a scrapbook kind of thing. It was a really ugly notepad, and I just started journaling like how I felt. And ever since then, I've never stopped. And one kind of like ritual or exercise that I love to do is, because I used to kind of suffer from that burnout, that chronic stress, that anxiety, I used to rate myself. I used to do check-ins every single day on a scale of 1 to 10. How stressed out do I feel right now? And obviously, like, we know stress is actually a good thing in small measure, right? Because that's what motivates you. It can push you forward to meet that deadline. But if we have too much stress, we like top over the edge, right? So if it was ever more than like, you know, a 6 or a 7, I'd be like, all right, how can I start to bring that down? And I also do this, this like 1 to 10 scale check-in now, and you can just do it 2 minutes in the morning, 2 minutes in the evening, whenever works for you. You can journal it. If you're not a journaler, you can just take a mental note in the shower. We all have time to think about things in the shower, right? But I love to actually check in with myself, like on a scale of 1 to 10, how am I feeling mentally, right? So mentally being like, what's my self-talk like? You know, am I showing compassion to myself? Do I have too much on my plate that I've got such a big cognitive load that that's leading to me not being able to focus or to have overwhelm? So I like to say, how am I feeling on a scale of 1 to 10 mentally? And then I go, on a scale of 1 to 10, how am I feeling emotionally? How much am I filling my own cup as opposed to other people's? You know, do I feel drained at the moment? Do I feel bored? Do I feel uninspired? Do I feel unmotivated? And I would check in. Then I like to do spiritually, like how, and you can see the connection with, and this is why I burn out in all these areas. So this is why I'm so passionate about checking in on that. Spiritually is like, do I feel connected to something bigger right now? Do I feel like I'm making an impact? You know, do I have purpose and meaning in my day? And then the last one is obviously physically. Am I looking after myself? Am I getting that sleep, movement, nutrition in? And I literally just like to look at these four areas. And then I like to ask myself, like, if it's a high score, how can I maintain this? And if it's not, you know, how can I improve this? Like, what needs to change within my day-to-day to get me at that healthy level, right? That really holistic level where everything is working, you know, working in service of you feeling like a happy and fulfilled person. And it doesn't need to be perfect. It doesn't need to be 10 out of 10 every time. But again, it's about having that awareness of like, oh, I am feeling really drained right now. Why is that? Oh, maybe because I haven't set some boundaries in a friendship that I have, or at work, or I'm taking too much work home. And it's kind of troubleshooting, you know, around that, but you have to check in and have that awareness first, right? So yeah, I love that one.
You're very accountable to yourself as well.
That's like high achiever. Those high achiever tendencies. Yeah, 100%. That's right. 100%.
You don't need anyone else to hold you to account. Well, look, Helen, this has been amazing. You've highlighted some really deep little things that Ush and I certainly have sort of glossed over and touched on. It's going to give us the opportunity to dive a little bit deeper into some of these as well. So Amazing. Really great insights. Thank you for that. Is there anywhere that you would like to direct our audience to have a look at? I mean, I've just said your website's amazing, but it's going to change. So
yes. Yeah. You can just find me at helenkartika.com. So helenkartika .com. And I also hang out on Instagram a lot as well. And that is just @helenkartika_.
Wonderful. Okay, thank you so much. And look, thanks again for connecting with me. I think that, you know, your story is amazing and your energy is definitely amazing. And I think you're a bright spark. So thank you.
Oh, thanks so much, Jackie. Thanks for having me. It's been amazing.
Yeah, I really liked her. I thought she was great. Mm. So passionate, right? Like that passionate energy just oozes, even just listening to her speak, you know, about how she's got to where she's got to. And you can see that she just lives and breathes and is so passionate about where she's at right now. Did you pick that up as well?
Very much so. It's really different when you come across someone who is actually living in their values rather than just professing their values. And she's certainly gone, okay, I know what's really important to me. And she's made that happen and made everything work around, you know, being able to live where she wants to live and work wherever she wants to and add in the extra elements into her life that give her fulfillment. So yeah, I thought very conscious life.
Yeah. And what I liked about it was like just listening to her and going, right, if I was someone that, you know, needed a coach in this space, I like that she sort of lived what she teaches. Mm. And I really look for that in a coach or in a person, because look, you can go get the coaching qualification, right? It's just the study and you pass your, you know, test and or whatever. And part of it, I believe, is a bit like school. It's sort of a test on memory more than anything else. But for someone who's actually gone, right, and a lot of our guests have, right, like they've done that where they've experienced it and then they're educating it and teaching it. And I just think there's so much of a difference in someone like Helen who's lived it and then gone, right, I'm now going to like show you that you can get through this. This is how, and this is what's possible on the other side.
Yeah. Yeah. And for her also to have sort of gone through the burnout a couple of times from different perspectives and to have to learn the lesson, it then means she can teach it better because she's done it rather than, you know, having one instance and then going into business, which is another whole complete different beast in itself from being in corporate and having that mindset. And then she had the same thing happen again. So, yeah.
Yeah. And the bit that made me laugh in listening to the interview was, you know, when she says she asks her clients about, would you let your 7-year-old self run your business? And I was like, oh my God, like I used to ask that myself all the time when I set my business going. Yeah, you know, I'm still learning about EQ. I'm still studying it. I'm trying to teach EQ. And at the moment, it's like a 4-year-old running my EQ business. I say that to myself all the time. And that just drove me to, you know, really practice what I preach and work on my EQ. And so she's totally right. It's like, if we're not working on our mindset and evolving, then, you know, what language and who is running our mind?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if I think back to my 7-year-old self, it would be like a lot of fear, like extreme shyness and avoidance. So I don't think that person should be anywhere near the helm of a business.
No, exactly. Exactly. So no, I love that. And I think, you know, she's doing some incredible work in that space because, again, it goes back to that whole IQ versus EQ thing that, you know, lots of people have the smarts to run their business. They know what needs to be done, but is their mindset and their EQ in the right place? And that's the bit that they probably need help with. And also to navigate that, you know, that burnout stage and the awareness of when it's coming up for you and why.
Yeah, I think the awareness piece was a huge thing for her. Like even thinking back to how she was conditioned as an adolescent with the tennis and groomed to be a high performer and all the pressure that she mentally put on herself and was conditioned to be strict on herself and how that then potentially flowed over into other aspects of her life in a bad way. Because I'm sure there's many aspects that she picked up about performance and striving that have been utilized for good as well, but at the same time it probably contributed to that those elements of a personality that led to burnout. And so being able to recondition yourself and understand where it's coming from has probably been a big key to have it not happen again and again and again.
It's like that spectrum thing. I think we've spoken about it before, that, you know, there's the scale of the good and the bad qualities of, you know, any emotion or anything. And when you're in high stress and you don't have the awareness, you're going to lean into that other side of the scale with the unhealthy habits of something that can be good. Remember, like you were saying, like, you know, when you exercise too much potentially, because it's part of that stress. Whereas for me, I'm like, well, I could do with more of that. But, you know, it's just that spectrum and being mindful of, you know, it is really, isn't it? Being aware of what's going on and what your behaviors and your habits are and the why behind it for sure.
Yeah, I thought that was fascinating, particularly with the high performance theme throughout her life, you know, such a high performing teenager and then, you know, high performance public relations and then, you know, trying to bring the same elements again into her first version of her business. Yeah. But the other thing I thought very interesting was how she commented that, you know, your life, your involvement, your everything is never linear. And we do quite often think that we're on a continuous improvement, like a linear path, but we have to accept those ups and downs. And again, like maybe what we were talking about in our intro is just like, well, now we are accepting that nothing's linear and there are ups and downs and they're okay.
Yeah, but I think you also need those ups and or the downs particularly, because you know, it's like, you know, we were talking about that book, right? The Universe Has Your Back. We were just talking about that earlier, that, you know, we get thrown universal assignments, but it just shows that we're evolving because we're seeing the universal assignments, whereas before we probably got them, but we ignored them.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas now we're going, okay, this is a bit of a universal assignment. We need to do something about it.
Yeah.
And it's clearing things that need to be cleared because it's brought to our attention.
Yeah.
Or it's challenging our values. And that's why we need to make a shift in certain things in our life.
Yes.
So I always just think as hard as it is in that moment in time, as Gabby says in the book, right, it's either going to be this or going to be better. So.
Well, yeah, it sort of goes back to some of those things, though, that some guests have talked about. I think it was even February of last year with the self-love month where, you know, it's a tap, a whack or a Mack truck.
Yes.
Yeah, because we get these universal assignments, like you were saying, or lessons. And if you don't learn the lesson, it's going to get bigger and bigger and more obvious until you learn it. But now we're recognizing things as a lesson. We're taking from it. We are thinking about our values and living to our values instead of just doing what's easy or what's convenient. Yeah, so I think maybe we're passing those lessons a bit smoother.
Yeah, exactly. And I think getting those lessons, again, like you said, it shows it's not, you know, linear. It's everything's evolving. We're evolving. Mm. And again, it's that quote, isn't it, that every new level demands a different version of you.
Mm.
And, you know, we're living proof of that. Helen's living proof of that, mm-hmm. you know, each part of her journey has demanded a different version of herself, especially letting go of those expectations or attaching, you know, that high level of, you know, competitiveness and to do her best with feeling worthy.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. So she's had to do all of that as well to evolve and, you know, take the good of all of the good that's happened to her in those businesses initially and learn from it, but also learn from the things that weren't so good.
Mm. Mm. Yeah, definitely. Because towards the end there, she also talked about the impact and consequences of our old beliefs versus our new beliefs and things like that. And it was also interesting thinking about confirmation bias and how that might have played out in the past. Like we potentially, when we had lessons, either we weren't aware or ignored them, or we used some kind of blind confirmation bias to justify how we handled it. But now we're far more open to being aware of what potentially is going on and actually doing the hard work, like recognizing we're fearful and anxious, or recognizing that,
yeah,
this is tough, and looking at the broader impact as well. So,
yeah. And one of, you know, I think my big things as well is, you know, when we ask for support and guidance, or, you know, we say, oh, I wish this happens. And it's almost like we have a plan or we have an expectation in our mind of how that's going to happen. So how are we going to grow our business? How are we going to be more successful? How are we going to get our next client? But things are going to happen, like, you know, the universe is going to do its own thing and rearrange things that might not be the way we want it to be rearranged,
mm-hmm.
like for you and your staffing stuff, for mm-hmm. me and my client issues.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, it's what we want is happening, but it's just probably not happening the way we wanted it, which is, again, about surrender, that we just got to ask for what we want and let things happen and play out and acknowledge the emotions and anxiety or uncertainty that we feel during that. But we've asked for this.
We have,
you know,
yeah.
Like we've asked for these lessons, and I think, you know, Helen's again living proof of that. Not that she's asked for her burnout, but, you know, she needed to be a certain version of herself to be as successful and where she is.
Yeah, I think that's the key. Like you were saying before as well, like after each different challenge, you are a different person for having experienced that, and, you know, or you're at a different level of who you are. And so if we want to have our business at a certain level, we can't be the same person that we are now to have that. And so, we're getting put on the perfect pathway, even if we don't want the challenges, to make us into the person that we need to be for what we want.
And we can't even control it to go, well, I'm happy to have the challenge, but I want it this way within this box. Like I, it's funny though, we laugh, but I have actually felt that. Like I've gone, okay, I want this, but it has to happen in this way. No, it doesn't happen in that way. And that's why now when these certain challenges happen, I just go, okay, I've asked for this. It's for my greater good. And I've just got to, I've got to ride it like the wave, you know?
Yeah, that's right. And know that everything will be okay. Because it does always work out one way or another.
Yeah, again, it's that saying, isn't it? And like I say that to myself a lot. It's like, if, or if I'm looking for something, it's going to be either this or better. So if we don't get it, it's because something better is on its way. Does it, it may not feel like that at that moment in time. No. But
yeah. But in hindsight, like once you threw it, you look back and go, it couldn't have done it any other way, really.
Yeah.
I do look back at things though and think, oh, well, I could have handled that or done things differently, but that's part of the learning, I think, so you don't repeat the same mistakes when you're going through the next one. Mm.
And it's funny because, like, one of the big things for me in the new property was the meditation space, and all the properties we saw, I would have had to compromise on that space.
Mm-hmm.
But I couldn't see it at the time when we weren't getting the properties because I was just like, we need to move because of the mold. But now I'm like, oh, my God, this is why we've had to wait, because it's got the meditation room, and that's what I had been asking for, like, so clearly.
Yeah.
So yeah, it does all work out in the end. And I think all of us in every way, we are protected somehow, aren't we? Just we are.
It's becoming quite a big, profound question, isn't it? About, well, what's the purpose of life? And, you know, we're here to learn lessons, not to have it easy necessarily. Or,
but look at all the people that we've interviewed, like how many have experienced that burnout, right? Or all of these like difficult challenges, yet.
Yes.
How amazing and successful and resilient and passionate are all of these people that we have spoken to. So it just shows that, I mean, I don't think one person has had it easy, to be honest, or cruised through their life. People have had uncertainty, even if they've, like, you know, just cruised into their careers by different paths. But there's been lots of things that have happened and these universal lessons. So it shows that it's not just us, it's happening to everyone. But, you know, some people just, you know, see it for what it is, and other people struggle with it a little bit more because they're not aware or they don't have that EQ as much.
Yeah, that's right. Well, that's sort of a bit Buddhist, isn't it? Because it's like, well, we all create our own suffering by how we push against the challenge or how we perceive it.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Look, a couple of years ago, there's no way that we'd talk like this or debrief like this at all.
I know. It's like we have totally just like shifted our... Even our debriefs, you're right, our debriefs have changed as well. We look at things with a bit more, I don't know, it's just a different lens, isn't it, now it that is. We've both got, I think it's just been such a, like, yeah, beautiful journey to see it change.
Yeah, very much so. Yeah, so, I mean, Helen's amazing, so we'll pop all her details in the show notes there as well. She's probably enjoying a lovely summer over in Berlin, actually, while we've, you know, got all this rain and cold. But anyway, seasons are good as well. So what's coming up for you? Like, you got your move in a few weeks. What else is
I've got my move in a few weeks, focusing on the rounding. And I'm doing, as part of the just my meditation journey, you know, in the Universe Has Got Your book, it's got the miracles aspect. So I'm really into that at the moment, around that miracles are just a way of life, and how do we get them? And how do we normalize that it's there? So just been doing a little bit of work around that, really. So it's been cool.
You need to go back and review Synchro Destiny again, because it's the same thing, miracles or synchronicities. Yeah.
But this one, and I was just reading something on it yesterday, and it said that, you know, no miracle is bigger or harder than someone else's. And it's so true. Like, you know, someone said to me yesterday, oh, you know, I'm so glad you said that, because I need a miracle right now because my dad's in ICU. And I was thinking, you know, it's not going to happen. And she's like, I read that line that you posted about it. And she's like, now I feel like my miracle's not harder than anyone else's. So And it's true.
Yeah, yeah. Isn't there that saying as well that a miracle is really just a change of perspective?
Yes, yes. Mm. So I'm doing a little bit of work on that, and it's called The Course in Miracles, and you get like one lesson a day.
I've been doing that for 2 years, Oosh.
Oh, have you been doing that?
Yes.
Oh, have you? Yes. I've just looked into it now. And it's only through the through Gabby's book that sort of got me. I've heard of it before, but it's just like been a massive calling to go.
Yeah, you get called to it when you're ready. That's right. That's why I really haven't spoken to you about it before. But there you go. I'm just about finished my second year of it. So the 1st of July, I'm back to lesson one again.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I've only just started. It's been like a week. But
it's very challenging once you get into about 150 days.
Yeah, right. And I remember it says when you read the text of the book, though, that, you know, don't question it. You don't need to know why or the how. Just accept it for what it is and do the challenge of the day, like just go through it.
Yeah. In the first year, I didn't really read the text at all. The text, to be honest, didn't make much sense at that point. In the second year, I've got about a third of the way through the text. And it's like I just read a couple of pages before bed and just sort of let it absorb into that subconscious of sleepiness.
So do I. Yeah. Oh my God, how funny.
Wow. We always parallel each other some way.
We need to talk about this in the next podcast episode, maybe. We should do a topic on this.
We should find someone, if you want, who is a teacher of it.
Oh, yes. Yes, let's put the call out there. Mm. Yeah. There you go. That was a bit synchronistic just there. There you go. What are you doing this week outside of lesson number 500 and something?
This week, well, we're nearly the end of the financial year. I've had a big project at work, which is sort of coming to completion because we're changing our practice management software. So there's that to roll over. Got another week or two before I onboard two new people. And so it's just a little bit intense. So all I'm really doing is buckling down and going, yep, just, you know, some things to do. So I'm not adding to my plate. I'm not telling myself this is really hard. I'm just like, you know, by middle of July, going to be cruising.
Good.
Until another challenge.
Or a miracle.
Yeah. Or, yeah, that's right. Well, you know, there's daily miracles. So
exactly.
It's all good. Yes. Well, it's wonderful to have caught up and have a chat again.
Totally.
Yeah, we'd love to hear from people. We'd love to hear, you know, I think June has been particularly challenging for a lot of people, and to hear, you know, if that's the case for more than we think.
Mm.
So, yeah, we post this into LinkedIn, which is probably where we're most active, but you can comment on our website, iqmeetseq.com.au, and where can they reach out to you, Oosh?
On eq.academy.
Wonderful. And the best email for me at the moment is jackie@legallywisewomen.com.au. So there we go. Another one down. Again, yay. So great to talk to you.
I know. It's great. I love it. Pick up where we left off.
Yeah. All right. We'll catch everyone next time.
Bye.